الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his perfect names and his perfect attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our shortcomings and for the evil actions, we send salams to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiyyin, Khatib al-Rusul, Salawatullahi alayhi wasalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, to give us prosperity in that which we are about to embark upon, as it relates to seeking ilm, the knowledge of fiqh. And we know from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the hadith as sahih, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for, He gives him understanding for the deen. He gives him fiqh of the deen. And the mafhum al-mukhalafa, from the way the usul, the mafhum mukhalafa, the inverse meaning or the inverse understanding, is the one that Allah لا يريد به خيرا لا يفقهه في الدين. The one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want good for. He doesn't give him fiqh, understanding of the deen. And this is what we need to have, ya ikhwan, fiqh of the deen. And the most foremost fiqh that we need to have of this deen is the fiqh of tawheed. Is the fiqh and the understanding and the knowledge of a tawheed. And everything comes from that. We need this knowledge, one, more than we need food and drink. As Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, الناس بأحوج إلى العلم من حاجاتهم إلى الطعام والشراب. That the people are more in need of knowledge than they are in need of food and drink. And the reason being Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he said that as it relates to food and drink, sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't. You eat it and you've had enough. You're full. You are thirsty. You had a drink. You are parched. You had a drink. And you're satisfied. So you don't need a drink after that. But as for knowledge, you need it every second, every time. And that's why we're studying Ikhwan. We're studying and we have to try to purify our intentions in seeking this ilm and seeking this fiqh. As we've mentioned before, but it's important, the advice of Sheikh Al-Alama Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh, as it relates to the one who seeks knowledge and how to purify one's knowledge. As Imam Ahmed said, and the Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen is explaining this author of Imam Ahmed. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that طلب العلم لا تعدله شيء إذا صحت النية. طلب العلم لا يعدله شيء إذا صحت النية. He said, seeking knowledge, nothing is comparable to it. Nothing is like seeking knowledge if one's intention is correct and one's intention is pure. So it's important for us to seek this knowledge and have pure intentions and sincerity in seeking this knowledge. Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, in explaining this, he asked the question, how can one purify their intentions? How can one purify their intention? He said that this can be done in a few ways. One can purify their intention in a few ways. The first way is by having the intention لِرَفْعِ الْجَهْلِ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ رَفْعُ الْجَهْلِ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ. And that is to take ignorance or remove ignorance from yourself. And it's to relieve yourself of ignorance. You have the intention of seeking knowledge in order to relieve yourself of ignorance. And the second he mentioned is to act upon it. The second he mentions is to act upon it. That you have your intention of seeking knowledge in order to act upon it. In order to imtithal li'awamiri Allahi wa nawahi. In order to comply to Allah's commands and to stay away from Allah's prohibitions. To do the halal and stay away from the haram. And the third way to purify your intentions is when you're seeking this ilm, is to seek this knowledge in order to give da'wah. In order to give da'wah. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعْنِي وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That say, this is my path, I call to Allah. So you have the intention to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon insight, upon knowledge. So you're seeking knowledge, you have the intention to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon knowledge, you and those with you. And glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, free from imperfection, and we are not from, or I'm not from the mushrikeen. Hey, taking the call back to Tawheed. The fourth way that the Shaykh mentioned that one can purify their intention is by having the intention of seeking this knowledge to defend this deen. To defend this deen, to defend the religion of Al-Islam. And to defend the Sunnah. To defend the Sunnah from those who want to infiltrate the Sunnah from Ahl Bid'ati wal Ahwa, from the people of desires, from Ahl Shirk, from the people of Shirk, and those people who try and infiltrate Bayna Sufuf in Muslimin, and those who want to try and infiltrate between the Muslims and divide the Muslims by innovating into this deen. So you try and defend, you have the intentions of seeking knowledge to defend his deen. These are the five ways that Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that one can or should aid an individual in purifying their intentions as it relates to seeking ilm. فَإِنَّ Imam Ahmad رَحْمُهُ تَعَالَى he said, طَالَبُ الْعِلْمِ لَا تَعْدِلُهُ شَيْءٌ إِذَا صَحَّتِ النِّيَّةِ Seeking knowledge, nothing is comparable to it if the intentions are pure. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ikhlas in seeking this knowledge. And I'd like to reiterate that I, in speaking, I'm also seeking knowledge. I'm also learning new things as I research some stuff that the ulama have said and reinforcing that which we've studied with the ulama. So this is, we are all together learning this. We're going through these masail and these issues of fiqh together. We are learning. And that is our job, is to learn and to transmit as much as we can, inshallah ta'ala. The book that my dear brothers have decided that, you know, we can go through is Umdatul Ahkam. Is Umdatul Ahkam. And inshallah, we're going to start, bi'idhnillah, from the first chapter, Kitab al-Tahara. We've done before, a couple of years ago, we've done Kitab al-Siyam. Inshallah, we're going to go back and we're going to do Kitab al-Tahara. Inshallah, we're going to try, bi'idhnillah, to try and go through this book bit by bit, inshallah ta'ala, and hopefully we get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we get closer to Allah, so we can reactualize the reason that we've been created, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنُ وَإِنْتَ إِلَى الْيَعْبُدُونَ There was no created mankind and jinn except for ibadah, except for worship. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship in reality, as Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, as mentioned, and other than him, like Shaykh al-Islam, in his definition of ibadah, he said, it's مُجَامِعٌ لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ يَرْضَى That ibadah, worship, is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy and pleased with. So that's what we're trying to learn. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and pleased with? That's why we're doing these books. That's why we're going for Umdat Ahkam, to know that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. So inshallah, we'll try and touch upon some points as it relates to this book. The first thing we're going to talk about, point number one, is the author of Umdat al-Ahkam. His name is Al-Imam Al-Hafidh Taqiyuddin Abu Muhammad Abdul Ghani Ibn Abdul Wahid Ibn Ali Ibn Surur Ibn Rafi' Ibn Hassan Ibn Ja'fal Al-Jama'ili. His name is, his kunya is Abu Muhammad. His kunya is Abu Muhammad. And his name is Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid ibn Ali. And the rest, Al-Jama'ili. Al-Jama'ili, Thumma Dimishqi, Al-Salihi Al-Hambali. He, Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid ibn Ali, he, rahimahullah ta'ala, was born in a place called Jama'il. He was born in a place called Jama'il. And it's in Nablus, which is, I think, is close to Sham, near close to Palestine and so forth. He was born around this area, which is why he's called Jama'ili, because he was born in a place called Jama'il. And he was born in the year 541. He was born in the year 541. And this Imam, he's known as Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. This is what he's known as, Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. He's known and he's attributed to Al-Maqdis, yani Maqdisi nisbatan, he's attributed or ascribed to Al-Maqdis because where he was born was Jama'il. And Jama'il is a place that's very close to Bayt Al-Maqdis. to Al-Qudus, Bayt al-Maqdis, is very close to that place. Because of that, he is called Al-Maqdisi. This Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he traveled many places. In his early life, he traveled to Egypt, he traveled to Iraq, and all these other places. Abdul Ghani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he sought knowledge at an early age. He sought knowledge, he started seeking ilm at an early age. And this is a lesson for us, that we have to try to start our children seeking knowledge at an early age. Some of us, we started late, but our children, inshallah ta'ala, we can start seeking ilm at an early age. And this is a motivation for the younger brothers from amongst us to continue seeking ilm. As this is on the way of the ulama, they sought ilm from a younger age. As you find in the tarjuma and the books of tarajim and the books of biographies of the ulama. So Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi ibn Abdul Wahid, rahmatullah alayhi, he started seeking knowledge at an early age. And from the ones who he sought knowledge from was Al-Alama al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Ahmed ibn Qudama. Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi. The one that he sought knowledge from was Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi. Now Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, he was from the ulama of the Hanabila. He was from the ulama of the Hanabi. Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi sought ilm. He started his talab by seeking ilm from him. Now Ibn Qudama is the father. Ibn Qudama is the father of the one that wrote Al-Mughni. Ibn Qudama is the father of the one that wrote Al-Mughni. Now Al-Mughni is one of the main books of the Hanbali fiqh. Al-Mughni is one of the main books of the Hanbali fiqh. The father of the author of this book was the Shaykh of Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahmatullah ta'ala, rahmatan wasi'a. Now, in order to understand the ta'lif and some of the books that the ulama have written, when talking about the biography of some of the ulama, they talk about the bi'ah. They talk about the things that have occurred during their times. And during the time of Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, there was a lot of famine. There was famine, lack of food, poverty. There was lack of food and poverty. And this didn't stop Abdul Ghani from seeking ilm. This hal of poverty didn't stop Abdul Ghani for seeking ilm. And this was during the year 596. The year 596 Hijri, there was a big famine. And that was during the lifetime of Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahmahullah ta'ala. And during this time, it's reported that during this time, that people were compelled to eat because of extreme poverty and lack of food, the dead body. Dead bodies that during at that time. And this shouldn't be strange for you, because Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that it's permissible for an individual to eat even something that's haram if there's nothing else. La tahrim mattirari. La tahrim mattirari. As is mentioned in the Qawaid al-Fiqhiyya of Abdurrahman al-Sa'idi, rahmahullah ta'ala. And that there is no prohibition when there's compulsion, when someone is compelled. Hey, when you're compelled to eat something that's haram, it's not haram for you any longer. So during this famine and this lack of food, it was so much so that this occurred in the time of Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned, for a point of benefit, that you only eat that which is enough for you to keep your back strong. You only eat that which is enough for you to keep your back strong. During the time of Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, there was earthquakes in Sham, in that area. There was earthquakes, so there was turmoil, there was a lot of fitan that happened during that time. And this didn't stop this Imam from seeking ilm and writing a lot of books. And he was known as an alim who was very good and very enthusiastic in writing books. And also, this Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was known to fight with his pen and to fight with his lisan, with his tongue, the people of bid'ah, ahlul bid'ah wal ahwa. He was known to defend the sunnah. He was known to refute the people of desires. This faqih, he's a faqih. He's an alim of fiqh. But he was also one that raged war against the people of innovation. And the people of innovation were frightened of him. And they even tried to harm him. They even tried to harm him, but Imam al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala, Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, he did not stop. He did not stop commanding the good and forbidding the evil, rahimahullah ta'ala. They tried to imprison him, they tried to harm him and beat him and so forth, but he still defended the sunnah and he still refuted the people of desires. And he was known to be very generous. Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's known to be generous. And this, what I'm mentioning to you, is mentioned in the books of Sira al-Aman Nubala. It's mentioned in the books of Tariq, Bidaya wa Nihaya of Ibn Kathir as well, the biography of this Imam. And he was known to be very generous, so much so that he would feed the poor. And what he would do, he would try and go to the houses of the poor in the middle of the night where no one can see him. And then he, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would leave food at their door and then he would go away. He would scarper. He would run away and knock on the door so they can open the door and get their food and no one will see him. So he'd run away in order for him to try and preserve his class. This was the sha'na and the level of this Imam. This was the level of this Imam. And Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala, as it relates to his aqeedah was salafiyya. He was salafi. His aqeedah, the aqeedah of Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah ta'ala, was the aqeedah of the salaf. As it relates to the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his names and his attributes. Subhanah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there's none that's comparable to him. And he is the all-hearing and all-seeing. This Imam, he affirmed the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah affirmed in his book, in the book of Allah. And as Allah affirmed upon the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Imam affirmed this. So much so, that the Hafiz Imam was ordered by the ruler of his time to write his aqidah. He was ordered by the ruler of his time to write his aqidah. And what he did is he wrote and he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Aqulu kaza. He says, I say this, i.e. an issue of aqidah. Aqulu kaza. لقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said this. This is Salafi. And he said this as it relates to all the chapter and all the issues of Aqidah and all the Masail. And he mentioned specifically those issues of Aqidah that the people were differing with, opposing in the time, in his time. So then, when his Aqidah was presented to the ruler of that time, Al-Kamil, to the king and the ruler of that time, Al-Kamil. When his aqidah was presented to the ruler of that time, the ruler said, "Ishfi hadha? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? What is wrong with his aqidah?" Because the people of innovation, they tried to infiltrate. They tried to attack Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi about his aqidah. So when he brought the treaty, mentioning that I say this because Allah said that, and I say this because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, the ruler at that time, he said, "Ishfi hadha? What's wrong with this?" يَقُولُ بِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَ وَجَلَّ وَقَوْلِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ هَذَا وَرَبُّ الْكَعْبَةِ هُوَ الْحَقُّ الْمُبِينُ. And the ruler of that time, he said, "What is wrong with what Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi is saying? For verily, he is saying that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this by the Lord of the Kaaba, this is the truth, is the clear truth. بِنَفْسِهِ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ." And Muhammad sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the fuqaha, yani the fuqaha of those times from the people of innovation that tried to oppose Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi, the ruler said that Allah and his messenger are more aware of that which of that than the fuqaha. And then he said, qala, yani qala al-amir, the ruler of that time said, فَخَلِّ عَنْهُ, leave him alone. Leave Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi because his aqidah is Salafiyya. So they tried to infiltrate and trying to oppose him. And he wrote this treatise showing the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah. And this is the way that we all need to be. Our aqidah has to be qala Allah, qala Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala fahim al-Sahaba, ala fahim tabi'in. Muhaddith. He was a muhaddith. And he had other books. He had other books like كتاب تحفة الطالبين في الجهاد والمجاهدين. He had كتاب الآثار الماضية في فضاء الخيل البرية. He had many books. كتاب الترغيب في الدعاء, a book of encouraging people to do dua. And فضاء المكة, the virtues of Mecca. فضاء الرمضان, the virtues of Ramadan. He had Al-Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al-Munkar, a book talking about commanding the good and forbidding the evil. And he had a book, Kitab al-Riya. He had a book of the book of Riya, a warning against doing Shirk Asghar, doing Riya, a showing off, and so forth. This Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, this illustrious Imam, was known for somebody who was very enthusiastic and very hard-working as it relates to his ibadah. And that is the sha'n of the Talib al-Ilm. May Allah forgive us and increase us in taqwa and increase us of those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he worked hard in his ibadah. He worked hard in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He worked hard in defending this deen. He worked hard in seeking knowledge. He worked hard in writing books of fiqh, writing books of hadith, writing books of aqidah, writing books of cities and so forth. This Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, he done this until the day he died. He done this until the day he died, and he died in the Shahr Rabi'il Awwal. He died in Rabi'il Awwal on the 23rd day of Rabi'il Awwal. He died on Monday, the 23rd of Rabi'il Awwal. He died on Monday, the 23rd of Rabi'il Awwal. And he died in the year 600. He died in the year 600. So he died at the age of 56, or 59, sorry. He died at the age of 59, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he was buried in Egypt. He was buried in Egypt, rahimahullah ta'ala. That's the brief biography, relatively brief biography, of this illustrious Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. This illustrious Imam Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi. Now, what we're going to do now, inshallah ta'ala, is go to his khutbah, or the introduction of his book. Is to go as relates to the introduction of his book, rahimahullah ta'ala, Umdatul Ahkam. Now, in this introduction, to mention the reason why he actually authored this book. It's mentioned why he authored this book. And this is mentioned, Shaykh Muthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentions this and puts this in his sharh, but it's called the khutbah of the mu'allif. It's called the introduction of the mu'allif. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَإِنَّ بَعْضُ الْإِخْوَانِ سَأَلَنِي اِخْتِصَارْ جُمْلَةً فِي أَحَدِيثِ الْأَحْكَامِ مِمَّا اتَّفَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْإِمَامَانِ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مُحَمِّد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم البخاري ومسلم بن الحجاج بن مسلم الخشيري النيسابوري فأجبته إلى سواله رجاء المنفع به. So he mentions here Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah ta'ala in the introduction of his book that after, sorry, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying Alhamdulillah al-Malik al-Jabbar, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and mentioning Allah's names and his attributes and testifying that there's none that deserves to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and messenger, the one that's chosen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sends dua and made dua for the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the sha'n of a Salafi. And this is the sha'n of a Salafi. Yani, beginning with Tawheed, Alhamd. And that is the sha'n of a Salafi, and that's the sha'n of the ulama who have written books from before. In that they began their books with Alhamd, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran with Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So that's their following their book as Allah's Quran was compiled. And he, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Amma ba'd. He said, Amma ba'd. Now what does Amma ba'd mean? What does Amma ba'd mean? Yani, linguistically or translation, it means to proceed. But the ulama have explained that what Amma ba'd is, yani, to proceed after I've praised Allah. Amma ba'd, yani, after I've praised Allah and I've sent thana on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I've testified that He's the one that needs to be worshipped or should be worshipped alone, deserves to be worshipped alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, Amma ba'd, I will continue after that. So to proceed after I've done that. And this is the way of the ulama. فَإِنَّ بَعْدُ الْإِخْوَانِ. Then he mentions that some brothers asked him to write a summarized compilation of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to ahkam, as it relates to rulings and regulations related to worship, with that which has been agreed upon, yani ittifaq muttafaq alayh, that which has been agreed upon by the two imams, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, this imam who we know, and the imam Muslim ibn Hajjaj rahimahullah ta'ala. And that's the compilation of this ahadith that we're going to do, are those narrations that's been agreed on by this imam. And this Umdatul Ahkam is like a summary of Umdatul Kubra, another book called Umdatul Kubra. And Umdatul Kubra is the compilations of the Ahkam and the rulings that's in the Kutub al-Sitta. That is in the six books, the Kutub al-Sitta. And this is a bigger compilation. So Umdatul Ahkam is like a summarized version of that, yani being that the only narrations that are mentioned in Umdatul Ahkam are those narrations that are mentioned in the Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, يعني ما اتفق عليه, that which that they have agreed upon. The Sheikh Al-Alama Al-Muhaddith Al-Faqih Abdul Ghani Al-Maqdisi Rahmullah Ta'ala, he began his Umdatul Ahkam with Kitab Al-Tahara, with Kitab Al-Tahara, the book of purification, the book of purification. And we've mentioned many times as it relates to the definitions. The definition of kitab is what? And I believe some of you are going to say, iktataba shay. Yani when something is compiled. Kitab is when something is compiled. Iktataba al-hisan. Horses have been gathered together. Iktataba. Horses have been gathered together. So kitab al-tahara, the meaning of it, is the compilation and the gathering of together of rulings and regulations as it relates to purification. Kitab al-Tahara. And Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, and we will, inshallah ta'ala, be using majority of the time the explanation of Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, for Umrat al-Ahkam, and also the explanation of Ibn Mulaqin, which is Ilam, which is a bigger compilation, bigger explanation, very in-depth explanation, but generally we'll be using the explanation of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, which can say is point number one as it relates to this chapter, he said, "At-tahara, definition of tahara, logha. The definition of tahara is an-nazafa. Definition of tahara linguistically is cleanliness. The linguistic meaning of tahara is cleanliness. And as you know, the definition." And there's a definition as it relates to Allah, the Quran, and as it relates to the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, the definition of Halun Najas, Irtifa'ul Hadaf wa Zawalun Najas. And that is relieving oneself of a state of impurity. Relieving oneself of a state of impurity, or yani al-hadath, the closest translation I can think of hadath, is that which affects the tahara of an individual, like urinating, going to the toilet, urinating, and gha'it, yani number one and number two. Irtifa' al-hadath, yani to relieve yourself of that state, yani of going to the toilet to relieve yourself of that state.
Naam. Kitab al-Tahara, the book compiling the rulings as it relates to purification. We mentioned that Tahara is a Nazafa. We mentioned that Tahara is a Nazafa. And that is cleanliness, linguistically. The linguistic meaning of tahara is cleanliness. As for the definition of tahara, as it relates to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is irtifa'u al-hadath wa zawalu al-najas. Irtifa'u al-hadath wa zawalu al-najas. And this is the meaning of removing your state of after you've been to the toilet. Removing your state of that you are after you've been to the toilet. Yani from both was from bowl was I. From urination and fetus. There's the one in Najaf is removing impurities. It's removing impurities. And that's the definition of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. And he says, which we can put as point two, is he says, At-tawara tuklaku ala nafsi tatahu. وهي بالعذاب المعنى الحسية. He said that basically that tahara has a literal meaning. Tahara has a literal meaning. And that literal meaning obviously is that physical action of purifying oneself. Of purifying oneself. And being in that state after the action. And then he says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, وَتُطْلَقُ عَلَى الْتَهَارَ مَعْنَوِيَّةً. And sometimes tahara, that which is intended, is the figurative meaning. And that is tahara to aqidah. And that is purification of aqidah. The purification of one's creed. The purification of one's belief, wal akhlaq, the purification of one's character, wal a'mal, the purification of one's action. And this type of tahara is from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khudhu min amwalihim صدقةً تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها. خذ من أموالهم, take from their wealth in charity to purify them, to cleanse them and purify them with that صدقة, with that charity. And this is the معنوية. And also the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسَّ. But verily, the polytheists, those who commit shirk akbar, verily, they are impure. And this impurity is ma'naviyya. So the shaykh just basically explaining that tahara has two meanings. And then the shaykh, which is point three, and we, inshallah, after this we finish because of time. The shaykh mentions point three. He says, "Rahimahu Taala, وَقَدْ بَدَعَ الْمُصَنِّفُونَ فِي الْفِقْهِ وَالْأَحَادِيثِ الْأَحْكَامِ كُتُبَهُمْ بِالطَّهَارَةِ." He said that the people, the ulama, who wrote books on fiqh and jurisprudence and ahkam, they began their books with tahara. They began the books with tahara. Now the Shaykh mentions two primary reasons for beginning one's book with tahara. And he says that this is the sunnah. And this is the way of those who wrote books in fiqh. The first reason is purifying and removing harms. Is removing what? Harms. The second one is because that the Sahara is Kafir Salah. That Sahara is the key to prayer. وَهِيَ عَاتِبِ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ بَعْنَ شَهَدَتَيْنِ. And it's the most strict pillar of an Islam after the Shahada, after the Shahadatayn. فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا بِالطُّهُورِ. And there is no salah except for purification. And because of this importance, the ulama have made the Kitab al-Tahara the first book, or the first chapter. And then the Shaykh, rahimahullah ta'ala, he brings the Sa'idah, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. He to bring the fighter. And he said that in the last of that, that some of the ulama have put the Kitab al-Tahara as an invitation for the student of knowledge to purify his intention as they proceed in seeking ilm for that which comes after. So it's an advice from the ulama to the student of knowledge that is embarking this book. They put Kitab al-Tahara A, the book of purification, A, to purify your intention. To purify your intention in seeking knowledge. And that they should do this seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they should do this seeking the hereafter. And they should do this to try and help preserve the religion of Islam and protect the religion of Islam and to call and spread the religion of Islam and to take away ignorance from himself, like we mentioned before. So that's the reason behind the ulama starting the book of Kitab al-Tahara. Inshallah ta'ala, we leave it there. I don't want to bore my dear brothers and sisters, so inshallah, that is the introduction to the book and the definition of Kitab al-Tahara. Inshallah ta'ala, the next lesson, bismillah, we will start the first hadith, which is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته إلى الدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. Where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that very actions are by intention or by intention in another narration. And for every individual is that which he intended. So whoever migrated for Allah and his messenger, then his migration is for Allah and his messenger. And whoever migrated for this worldly affair, that's where you attain. Or for a woman to marry her, if that was his intention, then his hijrah, his migration, is for that which he migrated for. Inshallah ta'ala, this hadith has many benefits in the Islam, the narrators, benefits from the fiqh and the hadith. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll do this next week for you, Allah Allah Shalabi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah bil alameen. I hope that was clear, Sheikh.
Barakallahu fik, jazakallahu khair. Barakallahu fikum, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fi mizan hasanatikum, jazakum Allah khair.
أمين
أخي، جزاك
الله
خير يا
شيوخ.
بارك الله فيك، حياك الله.
جزاك الله خير.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.